going to look at if black people, and we're going to pay attention to Jesus' instructions or what Jesus has to say about love. There are quite a number of things that Jesus says about loving him, but we're going to zero in our emphasis on a very profound statement that made or that he gave. And then via that statement he gave, see how we can have that in our lives as a proof of our genuine love. You know, sometimes when you talk about love, people have very varying opinions on what genuine love is. And growing up, I used to see some books like Love Languages. Right? So it's like they say that somebody's love language is gifts. So it means that if you should give the person very strong appellation, it's not going to mean so much to them. Now, interestingly, if you gave them a gift without an appellation, it might mean something to them. Now, there's also another person who will say, I'm not so much into gifts. Just show me that you care. Be around. There are people like that. They are not into gifts. If you give them gifts, yes, you get them excited, but you know, you can buy them all the gifts in the whole world, and they'll tell you that I think you don't really love me because you are not really around. But I give you gifts, I send you money, but the fact that you are not around also communicates, you know, the absence of your love. So in the world, you have people say that people have love languages. Jesus has a love language. Has a love language too. And you see, we can actually hit exactly on the spot that matters to you. So, today, if you ask somebody, do you love the Lord? They are going to have to say maybe a yes or a no. But let's allow the recipient of the love explain to us what he actually loves to receive. So we don't tell him what he should love. He tells us what he loves. And there are quite other things he said on love, like I said, but we're going to be paying attention to what he has to say, you know, about this more relational to the work of the ministry. There are times he says, love the brethren. But we're going to be looking at what he has to explicitly say. So now the worship leaders will not be able to really, really deceive us a lot of the time. Because they have excited experiences. Someone just worshiping and crying, you know. Or maybe someone's in the congregation and say, you know, they just lift up a song and there's cries all over the place. Now, that cry is not really a problem. But when we see you cry, and we don't have you do what Jesus Christ wanted you to do, you don't really love him. You don't really love him. There are some times, I get into my worship room, like I just put on a worship song, and then the worship just starts to play. Right? And then I just start to break down in tears. And do you know what comes to me oftentimes when I have these experiences? Many times it's the last instruction I heard him tell me to do. That's what comes to me. It means that loving the Lord is quite similar to obeying him. Now, it's going to be obeying him exactly in the things he wants you to do. So it's like, we'll be getting to, you know, a worship session. Someone's lying on the floor, rolling on the ground. But oftentimes what comes to me is, you know, he told you to do this, you have not done it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, it's like he told you, this thing he told you to do, you have not done it. So what is the crying about? Like, why are you crying? I mean, just get up and do what he has told you to do. Don't cry. It happens to me consistently. Like, you are crying, like, in tears. And then the last instruction that you have not, sometimes you are running around it. It's like he tells you to do it, and you are trying to say, oh God, you don't do it. And then he just comes. So, love and obedience, they are interrelated. You can't say you love God when you don't obey him. Yes, you can't say you love God when you don't obey him. So, we're going to look at something very important in our professing of our love to you. You know that when somebody says they love you, I 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 love you, but there is no proof of your love. We have to question that love. Yes. I love you, I love you, I love you, but you're not proving the kind of love you have for me. There's a big problem. There's a really big problem. So if I says he loves someone, I love you, I love you. And they say, oh, are you, what's the proof of your love? Then there's nothing to show. We have to actually investigate that. Or oh, Alfred, you love someone. Then they say, I love you, I love you. Can you get me this? Say, no, no, I can't get you. Can you help me with this? No, no, I can't. But I really love you, you know. I really love you. Can you help me? No, no, I can't help you. I'm very sorry, sir. Oh, I'm very sorry, but. But I really love you. So, oftentimes, you know, our love is only seen in our obedience. Our obedience to instruction. So, in the same way, we cannot say we love Jesus if we don't obey. We can't say we don't love Jesus. Or we can't say we love Jesus when we don't obey him. So we're going to take time looking at something important. And then we'll narrow in onto how to express that love to him. Right? So, you know, John, we're actually going to John. There's no other book. We would have to talk about this guy, John, because he declares himself the beloved of the Lord. Yeah, he was very confident. And actually, it was true. You know, John was that guy who was always around Jesus. I mean, he was that one. Yeah, he was that one. Aside, you know, James and John. Peter and James. It was John. So, when Jesus had the 120, he had the 70, he had then the 12, then the 3. It's Peter, James, and John. Then the 1 was John. Wow. So he was the beloved of the Lord. Now, beloved not mean that the Lord loved him more than everybody, but he just had a way of just having Jesus' attention almost every time. Now, in fact, even on the supper, while, you know, they were feeding him. You know, they were having the last supper. You know, when he said somebody was going to betray him, the only person that could ask actually, like, who is he going to be? It was actually John. And Jesus told him who he was going to be. Yes, so John was actually the beloved of the Lord. He was that one.
Wow.
Yeah, he was that one. John was that one. So, I mean, we might want to pay attention to his account. You know that Peter actually is who we are going to be looking at and what Jesus asked Peter. But Peter never captured this happening. Because I think Peter felt like the Lord was trying to tell me I didn't really love him that much. But John was able to account for that. He said that no, John at a point in time sat close to him. Jesus was asking Peter certain questions. And then John had that account. So if John didn't give us this account, I'm not sure we would have had that. So he was that beloved of the Lord. He was that one. You know, Bible says that he put his head often in Jesus' bosom when he sat close to him. John was that guy. Like when Jesus sat there, he put his head there. So, I mean, someone like this who talks on loving the Lord, at least we must pay attention to him. Right? So we're going to look at John chapter 21. And I believe that these were very latter days before Jesus' ascension. Before Jesus finally ascended. These were one of his latter days. So we're going to see something. Let's read the whole chapter. It's an interesting chapter to read. And I want you to use your mind while we read, okay? We'll read very slowly. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. You know what's happening here? You know, Peter actually is abandoning the ministry. Because remember, in the first part of the Gospels, he was fishing. Jesus says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, Jesus has died. Don't forget, he actually betrays Jesus again. Just before the cock crow, three times. He was the one that the young lad said, ah, Peter, it looks like we saw you with Jesus. He says, no, I don't know you. So, he was that guy who betrayed Jesus, right? Very strong betrayer. Now, he's that guy who is going back a fishing. Something that he was called for. He was going back to it. Now, pay attention. He says, I mean, if I was Jesus, I would have been quite serious. He didn't just go fishing alone. He drew other disciples with him. Like he says, you know, because he was that foundational head.
Yes.
Peter was the one Jesus says, upon this church upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now, he was not referring to Peter as the rock, actually. He was referring to Christ as the foundational rock. So, upon Christ, I'll build my church. The word Peter, there is the word Petra. It means rock. So, he was actually speaking to Peter, but he was not speaking to him exactly. He was saying that upon that rock, and we know that rock is the Christ, I will build my church. So, Peter is actually like a head amongst the disciples. Now, he's going a fishing. I want you to pay attention to it mentally. He's going a fishing. Then what happens? They said to him, we are going with you also. So it means that what we actually see here is that he's going back to what he had actually been called from. And the funny thing is, he's getting other people to go with him back. Watch it. So, Simon Peter said to them, verse 3, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. Again. Did you see that? Again. You know, the first time Jesus met him, he also caught nothing. So, but Jesus says, now, I know you've caught nothing. Now, just move to the left. Just stretch out your nets there. You'll catch fish. Right? So, when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered to him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, who is that disciple Jesus loved? Yeah, John was that disciple. Jesus loved. You know, it's interesting, but John was the one who was able to see that it was the Lord. Was it clear? Like, can you see that? So, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boats, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they had come to land, they saw coals of fire and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring some of the fish which ye have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net, land full of fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Actually, this was when after he had betrayed Jesus. Because this is Jesus' ascension. He was like, he was real. But he had died. So when you see up verse, let's say 28, Thomas was still doubting. 28, chapter 20. You see, so he had actually finished his assignment. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples. So it's either after he was raised from the dead. I am of opinion that they were not just fishing to eat. They were actually fishing to trade. Because, you know, it was not just fishing to eat, it was fishing to trade. It's just like the fisherman. He doesn't fish to eat. If you are a fisherman, you fish to trade. So to go back a fishing is to go back to your trade. Yeah, believing that Jesus, yeah, we believe he's resurrected, but we're not really sure about this man. You know? Let's just go back a fishing. And then others also say, yeah, we'll go with you a fishing. So they're going back to have a nice time. But can you see that Jesus is almost playing like he doesn't even know what is happening? Like, he doesn't blame, like, he just, you know, Peter, I expected you to be very mature. That's why I told you that upon this rock I will build my church. And you are the one going a fishing. Peter, you have lost your ministry. Peter, you are not a good, you are not a, he was just, he almost played as though he never saw what happened. Now, in chapter 21, this was after Peter had betrayed him. Did you see that he also never spoke about his betrayer? He almost played death at it. He played death like, this is that guy. I told you betray me. Keep quiet and go and pray. He said, no, I will never betray you. I'll never leave you. I'll never, you know, what do you call it? Leave your side. Meanwhile, they told you are going to betray me. Go and pray, Peter. Peter said, you know, they actually took him for prayer. Then he slept. Yeah. So the temptation caught up with him. And, you know, he had been caught up in the spur of the moment. They asked him, you know, do you know Jesus? He said, no. Yeah. So we've seen you with him. Mm-hmm. No. The one said, nah, I know you, Peter. I saw, you know, Galilee. We went to Galilee. I saw you. You have beard like him. He said, no. Then he had that. Go, go, go. Then it now occurred to him. You're going to betray. So, this is Jesus again. So, I'm just trying to tell you that he already had many opportunities that told Jesus that he did not love Jesus. He had proven it beyond reasonable doubt. I mean, what is there to prove? I said you betray me. You said you're not betraying me. I called you from fishing. You went back a fishing. I mean, that's a proof. That you were not really with me in the first place. Because the very things I asked you to do, you never did. So, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples on the way from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, because he's almost like the head. And I love Jesus. You know, I just see that he never says, hey, John, come, I've made you. He still sticks to choosing Peter. It means that, you know what? We actually never lose our ministry. We never lose our place. We actually decide that we would not serve God again. We will not. But for God, he never takes what he gives us. The gifts and callings of God. Romans verses without repentance. What he gives to you, he never withdraws back. He's so much full of love. He never takes back from you what he gives to you. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. And Jesus is talking. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you know what he's asking? He's saying, do you love me more than these? Now, contextually, what are the deeds? The fishing, the eating, the drinking. Peter, you're enjoying it because he's just had a breakthrough miracle. Then they have finished eating. I'm sure maybe there was another disciple who could cook. I mean, amongst the 12, there should be somebody who at least. Like the way we have a separate. So amongst the 12, we have a separate. And you know, Cephas is what? Cephas, Cephas is what? What's the other name for Cephas? do you love me? Do you love me? More than these. More than eating, more than fishing. Today, more than your job, more than your time that you say, I don't really have time. Do you love me more than this? Do you love me? You know, I've not taken some time to look at the sort of like Jewish food preferences. But one of the things that I can tell you about bread was bread meant a lot to the Jewish man. And fish. Yes. That's why Jesus used the similitude of the bread of life. Because whenever any home had bread, they actually had life. So bread was a very strong commodity in the Jewish custom. Yes, very strong. So he uses bread of life. Then there's bread again. We actually don't know where the bread is coming from. So let's say the bread would have been assorted in a certain way. Then there's groundbreaking number of fish. Like everybody can eat to your satisfaction. You have a good job that pays you very well. Then he said, do you love me more than the natural things of life? Do you love me? So I believe that Peter did not really understand. Because Peter is actually quick to answer. Yeah, he's quick to answer. Because when Jesus actually told him that you betray me, he should have said, you know, Master, you know all things. Because you know what? Actually, let me just give you a short overview. There were two brothers. One was called Andrew. Now, Andrew was the brother of Simon Peter. Was the brother of Simon. So, Andrew was the one that actually met Jesus. Andrew was first a disciple of John the Baptist. So, there were those two people who actually met Jesus and said, John said, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And they left John the Baptist and they followed Jesus into his camp. Mm-hmm. And they never returned, Bible makes us understand. So, then later on, Philip, as for him, Philip, Jesus called him, follow me. Then Philip went to bring Nathanael. So, why am I sharing this with you? It's because Simon. Okay, let me say this before I come there. Then they bring Nathanael. Then actually, Jesus is actually speaking to Nathanael. I saw you, Nathanael, while you were under, the fig tree. I saw you. Well, in fact, when he saw him, he says, Nathanael, you know there is no guard. I saw you while you were under. And Nathanael, how do you know these things? So Peter, you should have known that this guy sees and he knows. So when he tells you that you're going to betray me, don't say that I'm thinking about it. I'll never betray you. You didn't see right. Your scene is a big me, Peter. Oh, it will never happen. You should have just kept quiet and said, just pray for me so that I don't fall into temptation. Then he tells you, he's asking you a question again. Do you love me more than these things? Now watch Peter's response. He said to him, yes, Lord. He was very quick. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Peter, me, I don't know. You've betrayed me. You just finished betraying me. You just finished betraying me. The disciples I left with you, I should have come to see you saying that, Jesus Christ has risen. He showed himself to you the third time. That's fallible proof. But we came to catch you going back a fishing. You've taken other people and you're going to fish with them. She's like, you don't love me. You don't love me. It makes me feel like Peter had a character, sort of a character flaw. But you see, God uses people with character flaws. That's the good of it. Quick to answer. Yeah, I love you. You even know it. What have you done? All the things you have done is not so. So he says, do you love me? He said unto him, Lord, it's not the same Peter. I actually know it's the same. I'm just asking you. It's the same Peter, but he's still insisting that I love you. You even know. Okay, let's give Peter the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he loves it. But sometimes some people can love you and maybe they love you in their hearts, but they don't love you. But that is actually not true love. True love proves it. There's a proof of love. Right? So Peter is saying, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed what? The little ones feed them. Feed the sheep. Feed, lambs and sheep are vulnerable. Right? They're vulnerable. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, what? Tend 10. You know what makes it 10? It's to care for passionately. That's what means to tend. To take care of. So, Jesus is telling Peter, feed. Are you feeding your disciples? Feed. 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 Direct. Instruct. Teach. Deal with the problems. It's to tend. It's to care for. So feed. He will not still keep quiet. Let's see. Said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?
Peter was grieved. He was dead. Because he said to him the third time. Now that's quite some emphasis. It's like when you know somebody's lying, you say, Alfred, did you take the milk from the fridge? Like you saw the person, but maybe you have a CCTV in your house. You caught the person like, and Alfred says, oh no, I don't have any milk. I've not even gone to the room for 2 days now. And you say, well, Alfred, did you go to my home for milk? Is he there? Alfred. See, I've not even crossed this line before. You're like, Alfred, did you go to my room? It's like you are expecting a different answer. At least he should have asked Jesus, you know, tell me, what do you think? Do you think I love you? Okay, you think I don't love you, then that is it. Lord, I believe I don't love you. But he was still saying that I love you, you know it. And you know it. Jesus says, Alfred, did you take the milk? Oh no, I don't know anything about milk. Oh no. I mean that's a black and black. So Peter is, and you know, thieves to get angry, like Alfred. I'm not saying he's a thief, he's not a thief. Did you go and take the milk? What are you talking about? I said I didn't go there. Then we play the video. You know, until the thief is caught red handed, you know. Really, I'm ashamed of this one. No. So when you bring them out like that, you say, who is this there? Boss, I'm sorry, I don't know. It's the devil. It's the devil that came. I'll never do it again. I swear to God, I'll never try it again. Yes. Something came over me. I don't know what happened. Yeah, teams don't say that they don't know what happened. Something just pushes them and they steal. No, so let's just be careful. So Peter, Jesus is asking Peter again. I'm just trying to show you reality of the analogy of what's happening in John 21. But he's telling Peter how that he will prove his love for him is to feed. You see, when you have disciples and you teach them, you touch them, you love them, you tend for them in a passionate way. Jesus is saying that anybody that does this, just as he asked Peter, is proving their love for me. Not joining the dance, or maybe a singing group, or maybe usher. Say, I'm the chief usher.
Yes, it's good to be an usher. It's good to be part of a singing group. But, you know, let's just pay attention to Jesus' love language. Don't you think so? Pay attention to Jesus' love. He's the one that's the recipient of love. He's saying that my love genuinely will be seen when you become a pastor. Yes, to feed, to teach, to preach, to go out and visit and love. That's how you love the Lord. That's how you love the Lord. That's how you love the Lord. So he's saying to him a third time, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, now he's confessing, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Oh. So many times we can be Christians and excited about this, excited about that. But you see, Jesus is a love language. Jesus is a love language. It's seen. You know, if Jesus were still on the earth today, we would find him preaching, teaching, visiting. He visited so many houses. When he visited so many, you'll be there and you'll appear in your home. Peter, that guy cannot be trusted that much. He's showing me so many signs. You know, when Jesus actually entered into the house of Peter, it was in Peter's home. Right? It was in Simon Peter's home that the woman poured, you know, the alabaster box on his feet. Do you know that Peter didn't give Jesus a chair to sit? I'll show you. He didn't give Jesus a chair to sit. He didn't wash Jesus' feet. So that's why he was talking to Peter in a way. He said, Peter, what you refuse to do for me? She has done so much for me. Then Judas is the one now questioning the amount of the oil that is poured to the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Peter didn't really pay attention to the master's presence. He didn't pay attention. He didn't pay attention to the master's presence. I'll show you that story. So most surely I say unto you, okay, let's go to verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That guy was John, right? Who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter was quite an interesting guy. And we must make sure that we do not become like him. Do you understand? We're quick to say, Lord, I love you. But when we say discipleship, say, oh, I've not spoken to my disciples in like 2 weeks. Where's your love for the Lord? Where's your love for the Lord? Where's your love for the Lord? Where is your love for the Lord? Where is your love for the Lord? So we must be very conscious of this. Like your heart for the people God has committed to you. That's feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Let's see Jeremiah chapter 3. Yes, Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you what?
Shepherds.
According to my heart. So Jesus, who happens to be God, obviously, is giving out shepherds, pastors, feeders. Do you see that? He's giving out feeders. Are you going to be a feeder?
Yes, yes, sister.
Are you going to love the people?
Yes, please, sister.
Not going to like handle them anyhow.
Yes.
Yes. So he's giving shepherds, feeders, and what will they do? They will feed you with what? Knowledge. Are we in that verse? Knowledge and
understanding.
So that feeding there is not bread. It's not fish. It's not. You know, sometimes we could misinterpret that to say that Jesus meant that Peter should now go and pick fish and, and bread and feed the lamb or feed the sheep physically. Jesus wasn't talking about physical feeding. He was talking about a feeding that feeds them with understanding. And that's the work, actually, of the shepherd who feeds the sheep, right? The shepherd who feeds the sheep. I think we'll have something to talk about in Matthew 9. The shepherd who feeds the sheep. The shepherd who feeds the sheep. So, you know, you will have to learn this. You need to teach people. And not just teach. You need to visit people. And not just visit. You need to counsel. Not just counseling, learn to interact with people. You're going to be interacting. That's actually the work of the shepherd. And these are people who truly love the Lord. They are visiting, they are counseling, they are teaching, they are interacting. God is making us shepherds.
Amen.
And feeders.
Amen.
And the word shepherds is the same pastors. It's poime. Shepherd. One that oversees and leads a herd. So pastors, preachers, teachers, shepherds, teachers. That's what God is actually raising. And when we do this, he says, oh, you love me. Because you know he's not that much concerned about you alone. He's actually concerned about others as well.
Yes.
So anybody who is concerned about others as well, he's concerned about you. And that is actually your proof of your love for him. Others. Let's see Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start reading from verse 35. Jesus showed us that example. He showed us that example in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went all where? About the cities and what?
Villages.
And what was he doing?
Teaching in their synagogues.
Teaching. Is that feeding?
Yes, it is.
That's feeding. Yes, because remember, he says he will give you shepherds after his own heart. They will feed with knowledge and understanding. So, I can tell you one thing for sure. I paid attention to this. Anybody who wants to say, I truly want to be like Jesus, cannot despise the ministry of the teacher. Because that's what he majorly did. The miracles, the healings, the prophecies were embedded in the teachings when there was a need for it. Yes. So, Jesus taught more than he did any other thing. He taught more. The miracle of multiplying the bread and fish was after a function of 3 days of teaching. And they were almost fainting. And one of the disciples, I'm not too sure who it is, but let me just put it on Peter. I think it was Peter. He said, you know what? Jesus. They will faint on us. We don't have enough glucose for their survival. So you know what? Let's let them go because it's too late. Let's say, Jesus has been teaching. Let's say, even if it's 24 hours. You know what? 24 hours of teaching. It's not a joke. Even as you are sitting here right now, I'm sure you are already 24 hours. One, 24. And Jesus said that. He said, you know, let's let them go. It's okay. Because they see that they are hypo, their mouths are dry, and they had to travel back far journeys. And Jesus says, no, you know what? I've taught them for a very long time. Who has anything here? A young lad shows up and says, you know, I have some bread. I have fish. Then he multiplies it and gives. So he was not there to multiply bread and fish. He was there to teach the people. But the people were dying, so he had to provide. So, you know, Jesus' teaching ministry was very key. Like, was very key and is very key. But you know how he does that today? He's doing that through us. He's teaching through us. So, he's feeding the people. Now, see what happens. He went to all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So you see that teaching is first. You see that preaching is second. It means teaching is actually he took time to expound and to elaborate. To preach, he proclaimed. So preaching is more proclamatory. What I'm doing right now is I'm teaching you. If I were preaching to you, it would be more proclamatory. Now there are also times where it's preaching with teaching. So it's more proclamatory, yet it's more expounding. Either of the ways, but they all mean self and the same thing. Not exactly, but they're very similar. Except that teaching is more by precepts, precept, line upon line. Preaching is more, you know, everybody needs to be born again, and you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. As to preach, to proclaim loudly. So that's what Jesus was doing. He was teaching, right? Preaching, healing. But when his disciples, when he saw the multitudes, the crowds of the people, he was moved with compassion. Now, do you see that? He was preaching. He was teaching. But why was he moved with compassion? At least preaching and teaching is what everybody is called to do. But why was he moved with compassion? I'll show you. Because they were what? Weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. So Remember, don't forget, he was preaching. He was teaching. But he still saw a lack and a need to the people he was preaching to and teaching. He still saw a need. And their need was not the preaching. Their need was not the teaching exactly that he was doing to everybody. Their need was a shepherd. Somebody who will talk to them individually, not, you know, like there are 100,000 people. Yes, today we've got it for another. Yes, that's good. But there is also somebody who is called a shepherd who actually knows the person. Knows the name of the person. You know the pastor doesn't know the name of the person. A pastor who has a congregation of 100,000, you don't know the names of the people. But the one who is close to them actually is the one that knows their names. Mm. It's the one that knows that this person just knows a mother. Mm. The pastor doesn't know that. Mm. He doesn't know that. But the one who actually is a shepherd, who has the heart of a teacher, is the one that knows that, okay? So and so is sick today. But the pastor does not know. But the sheep is scattered because they have no one to care, to tend, and to teach directly. That's his love language.
Wow.
Do you see that? It's moved by compassion. This is love language. Mm. When he sees the sheep and they are scattered, beaten, battered by issues of life, troubled, they're not having peace of mind, they're not seeing, their school is not going well. You know, the shepherd actually cuts through everything. Yes. Their mother is not well. They're not eating today. But they're still preaching and teaching generally to a multitude. But that element is missing. Their auntie is dead. Their auntie is maltreating them. Nobody knows. But they still come to church probably to hear a general preaching and a general teaching. Then Jesus says, that's compassion. These people have nobody. They have nobody to talk to. They have nobody to hear them out. There was a girl I was talking to. She was talking. I felt like she had nobody to just hear her. That's how I felt in my heart. Like she didn't have anybody to hear her. And it's true, she said. She said, nobody wants to hear me. And my heart was broken because a shepherd should want to just hear the sheep. Like, okay, well, talk. Sometimes the things they are saying, you really want to like. I have work to do. But they just want somebody to talk to. They are just talking. And I'm saying this. My mother, hey, daddy, come back. My father. They are talking. Yes. But that element is what moves Jesus with compassion. See, he's moved with compassion.
Yes, he does.
It's one of the few times he was moved with compassion. One of the few times. He was moved. He was actually moved with compassion. Yes. Often you'll be moved with compassion when you see people sick and when you see them like the sheep without the sheep. It's moved with compassion. Because that's the very reason why he came. Not just to get them sick, but to care for them. It's that he wanted to be somebody that cared for the people. Nobody to preach to them. Nobody to interact with them. Nobody to counsel them. I remember there was a time there was this dear person who were helping the person out of something. And the person was doing well. Like maybe, let's say, the person's going to drink. Then we were helping the person. The person has stopped drinking. Then one time the temptation to fall into it becomes like very strong. And the person called and called me, and I couldn't pick. And by the time I picked, the person had gone to already do that. And I felt so bad. If I was there as a shepherd, they would not do that. They would not do that. So where are you when they are looking for you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? We looked for you. Where have you been? I was speaking to someone some time ago and she said, please, I will be calling you. And I said, no, I will call you too. I'm the one supposed to call you. You're not the one supposed to call me. I'm supposed to call you. So where was the shepherd? Where was the shepherd? When that boy was texting and making advances and trying to deceive and woo your sheep, where were you? Where were you? And that is what Jesus saw in the absence of the people. And he said, where were you when they were writing their exams? Where were you? Where were you when they didn't, it is something didn't work well? Normally we like to only be around when things are cozy, and, but when they get into trouble, where were you? For the Lord God has anointed you, just as he did anoint Jesus, to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. Three times of preaching. To preach deliverance to the captives. You know that people held captives by things. Held captive by addictions. Held captive by doubts. Held captive by wrong things. It is the responsibility of God. I mean, the responsibility of God in you. And you yielding to what he wants you to do, to have a heart that fulfills the responsibility of a pastor, of a teacher, of a shepherd. Where were you when things were not even working out for them? Did you just leave them, or you stood by them, prayed for them, trusted God with them? I see God making you a good shepherd. So God is making you a good shepherd. A very great shepherd. A very great teacher. Somebody who will follow the people, love them, pray for them, visit them, interact with them, counsel them, be happy around them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we see that Jesus was moved, right? With they are scattered. Now that actually expression, to be scattered there, you know, it's not like scattered physically. It's like their lives have no course. There's no direction. So they wander about. There are people like that who are beaten by life. I met a young girl and she was complaining, and then she finally said, you know, have you told God that my life should just end. So my life should just end. So I asked her, I said, how old are you? She says, I'm 20. I said, 20? You want your life to... You have already... 20? You've not even started life yet. But you want your life to end already 20. That's how beaten shepherds are. I mean, sheep are scattered. Scattered. Their lives have no direction. A bunch of, you know, zeros are about to happen. A bunch of them. Their lives will not make any meaning. But God, I believe, is raising some amazing pastors, teachers, shepherds, people who will care for, tend for, feed the sheep. God is helping us.
Amen.
And we can see some very serious things that God says. Let's go to Jeremiah Jeremiah. Are you going to love people?
Yes, Jesus.
I can love them. See, Jesus, you can say, you can tell God's care for the sheep in the lips of the prophet Jeremiah. And verse 6, if I'll call it. You see some bad shepherds. He says, my people have been lost sheep. He uses that. I'm just trying to show the analogy of a sheep and a shepherd, right? Their shepherds have led them astray. In chapter 50:50, verse 6. Okay, let's see something. Keep your hands up there. 50:6. Let's come to Ezekiel 34, verse 1, would we? 2. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. We're going to read Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. Downwards. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the world, the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thou says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed what? Themselves. Should not shepherd feed the flocks? Shepherds are supposed to feed the flocks. But they are interested in themselves. Oh, they pray for themselves. One time I was praying about myself. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. You are very selfish. I said, why am I selfish? You are praying for yourself a lot. In this time, you are praying for yourself a lot. So pray for the people. Pray for the people. Please. Pray for the people. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for people. This is the one I wake up. I start praying for people. Start praying for people. Praying for. This has been like this. He said, pray for the people. Pray for the people. He said, pray for the people. Pray for the people. And there'll be diverse kinds of prayer to pray for the people. Pray for the people. Pray for the people. So the shepherd is not concerned about himself. He is concerned about the sheep. He says, see what he said. See what he said. Verse 3. See what he said. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. You're only concerned about yourself. And it has to be me. My prayer. Pray for me. What would you pray for someone else? You feed yourself. You clothe yourself with good wool. But you don't care about it. You don't care about it. How they're faring is not your business. Oh, but you do not feed the flock. Do you see that? I'm using the same word, feed. It's consistent throughout Ezekiel's writing. That's why Jesus Christ actually uses the expression feed. And the expression sheep. And the expression shepherd. Because the Old Testament folks understood what he was saying. So he actually had the Old Testament. In Luke 4:18, when he said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he had anointed me to preach and do that. He was actually reading. Right? He was actually reading.
the Old Testament. So they actually understood what he was saying about sheep, shepherd, feed. Sheep, shepherd, feed. Because Ezekiel had already made us, Jeremiah had already made us understand that. He's going to give pastors who will feed with what? Understanding and knowledge. So they understood. They understood what he was saying very, very well. So, says that you eat the fat and bloat yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. You don't feed them. You don't feed them. You don't feed them. You don't ensure they are in teaching meetings. You don't ensure they feed and they eat well. That's why in discipleship, when people are coming around and their disciples are not following them, it's a proof that you don't care for the flock. You don't feed them. You don't care about their feed. You don't care. You are interested in yourself. You don't care. That's why as a disciple, you're supposed to be able to pay somebody's transportation to come because you are interested in their feed. And you're supposed to teach them as well. Mm-hmm. It's because you don't care. You only are interested in yourself. Only you want to eat. You want to eat and be satisfied. Mm-hmm. But your flock is hungry and not clothed well. The weak you have not strengthened. You see, they are weak. They are weak sheep in our midst. Very funny attitudes. They don't know what's happening. Very naive. Very innocent. They are not strengthened. They give up on life too easily. They think very interestingly. See, you don't strengthen the people that are weak. But a shepherd, a pastor, a teacher, of which everybody is a discipler, is supposed to be a strengthener. You see, when you see the sheep get into trouble, that's the time to actually show your skills of being able to strengthen and to keep them alive and strong. Nor have you healed those who were sick. You've not healed those who were sick. How can you be a shepherd and not have a place to heal? How would you want to pray for the sick, for your sick sheep? How would you want to do that? You see, all of these things in your heart is what causes you to, contend for the supernatural and to contend for the grace of God. Because the best healings in our ministry, let's say Christ's family, will mean the sheep are very well. They are not troubled. They are not troubled. Somebody is sick. Say, Alfred says, what is wrong with you? Are you ready to be healed? Say, yeah, I'm ready to be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. Not even pastor. That's the heart we must have as shepherds. It's like the sheep is in trouble. The sheep is in trouble. The sheep is in trouble. There's trouble on the sheep that you tend for, that Jesus is saying you should tend for. There's trouble on them. You have not healed. Sometimes healing is in words also. If the child says, oh, you are worrying me too much. Why are you always calling me? I said I'll call you back. Why are you calling me? No, your words are not healing. Your words are not healing. Nor bound up the broken. You know that people who are broken, significant of the heart, they are broken. Broken. There are many things that break people. Somebody lost their mother. You've not bound them up. That's why, we must learn to always go for people's funerals and parties. Because that is how we can show our love for this. He said, we'll see you, okay? We'll see you. I've had people go for people's funerals, and I said, you know what? You go with him or go with her. Go see this person. That's actually the meaning, is that you are trying to make sure that you are caring for the broken. That's the analogy. That's why I actually tell people. It's not that we just want to go. That's the analogy. So when you see us around, at least you are comforted. My friend is with me. My brother is with me. Oh, the person I pray with is with me. Bound up the broken. God is raising you as amazing shepherds in Jesus' name. Pastors and disciples.
Amen.
And teachers.
Amen.
This one again makes me feel bad. Nor brought back what was driven away. Brought back what was driven away. Discipleship will not do. He said, okay, go. Go if you can go. A shepherd that sucks the sheep away. My God. I'm not interested. You've not brought back the people that were dreaming. There was a time here, as a shepherd, I used to see someone around, and I didn't see the person around again. And a few months later, I said, where is this person? He said, oh, this person is not around, and this person sees this, feels this, thinks this. And when the person told me, I said, no, I'm the one that's causing it. Because everything the shepherd is saying is very valid. He didn't call me. He didn't text me. He didn't follow up on me. He saw me around, but all of a sudden he didn't see me around. Now, I'm not saying that those of you who are mature, when you are mature, you're supposed to be wise. A sheep is not supposed to be. A sheep is actually supposed to be the immature one. You understand? The shepherd is supposed to be the mature one that tends everything for the sheep. And so I knew that, okay, this person is is a disciple who is a sheep in coat. So I called the person. I said, you know what? I'm not heard from you. How are you doing? I called the person. And when we finished talking, I said, you know, I actually called to apologize to you. Forgive me. I should have called you. I should have texted you. I should have followed up on you. But I played busy or played dead. After I was busy, that's not the sheep. They don't care. They just want their love. So I called them and I apologized. That's to bring back the ones that I've given. That's to bring back the ones that I've driven. So there are people who will be driven away by so many things, by hurts, by so many things. They'll be driven away. Say, oh, we see that. We see that our disciple cares for this one more than he cares for me. There are people like that. Listen, my disciple cares for this one. Maybe he doesn't really care about me. And you say, what do you mean? What do you mean? Am I not kidding? No, you're driving them away. And then they leave. Those sheep, they leave quietly.
They just exit. Because they feel like, oh, this person loves me. I can see.
That's why I don't like to show that I love somebody. I love everybody.
Yeah, I love everybody.
The one that I said I really, really love, I said it. And I said, I love everybody. Yes. So he said,
this person will be done. See, let's let her go. She doesn't understand. Let her
go. Hey! Pastor. God's shepherd. No. A shepherd is supposed to go in there and bring back the people who have been driven away. Oh, my mother had a funeral and nobody came to. My father was sick, nobody helped me. You can't see that. You are supposed to be. The person is still young. If the person is mature, it's not going to really be a problem. But they are still young. They don't really understand what you are saying. The answer is that you didn't show up. Apologize for not showing up. Make up for the wrongs. Just do something as a shepherd. Don't let them go. When you let them go, there's a beast in the field, and God will require their blood from your hands. Because they will be eaten. They will. Don't joke with the devil. He's very smart. Nor sought what was lost. You didn't seek after them. When you never found them again, that was all. You didn't go back. You didn't seek after them. They are lost. Maybe they'll be lost forever. Until the resurrection day, when Jesus actually asks you, I gave you somebody. Where are they? You say, no, I didn't really know what you're talking about. No, sought. Pursuit. To seek will be to go to where they are. Go and see where they stay. Go and visit them. I can't visit everybody. But at least everybody who disciples somebody can sort or seek after them. Can go to them. Not sort after them. Some of them don't have food to eat when they go home. You don't sort them, so you don't really know. I went to a disciple's house. I was scared. I said, what is this? I was struck. But you don't, so you think they are money, they're supposed to give you money. That's why a prophet equals forgiving. There's a darling answer. No? They never seek after. Have you seen a prophet that knows where you stay before? Except you give him money. Not all prophets, but I'll have to discuss a case with a brother. Man. The prophet's telling him to pay 20,000. 20,000 was that easy. Would you? What? 20,000 was that cheap to get. You just call me and say, your bill is 20,000. If 20,000 was that easy, 20,000. You are wicked. You are a wicked prophet. You are very wicked.
I mean, that's wickedness.
No, me, I can ask for 20,000 from somebody I know, the person, give up, we need the money. But I will not say, I mean, if you need 20,000, we need 20,000, can you help with 20,000? How I can say, I see in the realm of the spirit, something is doing that, your bill is 20,000, go, bring 20,000. 20,000! Shepherd. You've not sought that. If you know where the person stays, you've not asked for 20,000. Yeah. If you know that the person is still living in a rented house, you've not asked for 20,000. So why are you asking somebody for 20,000? 20,000! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, then 20. And you said they should bring 20,000. Mr. Pastor.
We beg you.
Just at least. You've not sought them.
If you really sought them, you know that their savings is that money you're asking. Or their investment is that money you're asking that they should give to you. For whatever reasons, we don't know.
You know something that we're not saying. The lost souls, the dying people, you know something. Oh, pastor, oh, teacher, oh, shepherd, what are you doing? Your disciples that you've left, go back to them. God will ask you. Meet them, meet them in the university. You see their lives today, they've drunk their whole lives out. Slept around with everybody. But you didn't care for them. You didn't seek after those who were lost. So become a shepherd that starts to seek after the people that you don't see around again.
Yes.
Not seeing them again. Go and look for them. Go and say, we can't find you. But look what you've done. But with force and cruelty, you have ruled them. Force and cruelty. You are cruel. You are wicked. That's how you rule your sheep. Or that's how you rule your disciples. Verse 5. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all beasts of the field when they were scattered. They were scattered. Do you see Jesus uses the same analogy in Matthew 9? Scattered like sheep without a shepherd. It's the same thing. That's where it goes to. They were scattered. They were eaten by all beasts of the field. They had 7 boyfriends. Beast of alcoholism. Beast of entertainment. Beast of, sorrow. Big damages. Now, you see that when Jesus says the shepherd, you see that it's more personal.
Yes,
it's more personal. It's not just on the prophets and preaching to the 10,000 of people. It's more personal. Verse 6. See how God refers to them. Oh, my God.
I don't know if you see a statement of love in verse 6.
Yes.
He said, my sheep. He calls them my sheep. My sheep. The people that I really care for. My sheep. Look what they are doing. They wander through all the mountains and on every high hill. Oh, yes. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. And no one was seeking or searching for them. Oh, nobody. They were just nobody. God sits there and says, my sheep. Some are bitten, some are limping, some are bleeding, some are filled with bad animals, you know, some are sick. Oh, my sheep. My sheep. My sheep. I myself, I'm going to listen to this message again for myself. My sheep, they are eating, they are troubled, the academics are not working. Suicidal thoughts flipping in here and there. Young girls, older men are taking advantage of them here and there. Troubled, full of lack. Depleted in their appearance. My sheep. My sheep. Oh. You know. Just begin to speak in tongues. God is raising up some teachers, pastors, shepherds who will feed the flock, tend for the flock. Mighty shepherds, mighty shepherds, mighty, mighty shepherds, mighty pastors, people who will follow after the flock. Men who will go all out. Men who will go all out. Men who will go all out. Men who will seek after the sheep. They will follow after them. They will feed them with understanding. They will seek after them. They will love them. Mighty men. Mighty men. Mighty shepherds. Mighty shepherds. Mighty shepherds. Mighty shepherds. Mighty pastors. Oh, Shanda Brahma,
Lord, the Spirit of God is coming mightily upon us. We preach, we heal you. Preach deliverance to the captives. Set at liberty them that are bruised. Declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Shepherds who will preach. Shepherds who will teach. Shepherds who will tend. Shepherds who will love. In the name of Jesus. Men who will rescue the sheep from the hands of wild beasts. Men who will rescue the sheep from the hands of wild lions. Men who will rescue the sheep from the hands of perilous times and seasons in their lives. Men who will go all out for the sheep. Lovers of Jesus. Lovers of Jesus. Demonstrated in the loving of the sheep. Lovers of Jesus. Demonstrated in the loving of the sheep. Lovers of Jesus. My God. Men who will love the sheep. If you love the Lord, feed the sheep. If you love the Lord, care for the people. If you love the Lord, care for the sheep. If you love the Lord, follow after them, seek after them. Be interested in their clothing of wool, not your own clothing of wool, not your own comfortabilities, not your own enjoyment, not your own comfort. The comfort of the sheep is what you will seek after. If you love them, follow them. If you love them, care for them. If you love them, follow them. If you love them, follow after them. If you love them, if you love them, if you love them, be obedient to what I tell you to do. If you love, follow after the sheep. Follow after the sheep. Follow after the people. Love them, care for them, visit them, interact with them, care for them, follow up on them, pray for 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 them, men and women who will, you know, do away with themselves, who will sing like Jesus, we're going to lay our lives down for the sheep. Like Jesus did, we're going to lay our lives down for the sheep. We're going to be interested in their welfare. We'll call them. We'll talk to them. We'll love them. We'll interact with them. We'll find out how they're doing. We'll be conscious about them. You see, in this is God's love language. If you love me, Peter, feed the sheep. If you love me, Peter, go after them. Oh, go after them. If you love, go after them. The scripture that continues in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 9. He says, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest the Lord. I want you to listen to what God is going to say. My God. Behold, I am against the shepherds. My God. And I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep. Lord, may we not cease feeding the sheep. And the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, they that they may no longer be food for them. Oh, the Lord's heart is seen in this. He says, for thou said the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I, the Lord, I'll do it. If the shepherds will not do it, I, God, I will do it. I'll seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out for the flock, on the day he is among the scattered sheep, so will I seek out where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Oh, he says, if you do it, I, the Lord, will do it. If I called you to pastor the people, he said, I will not pastor. I will pastor them myself. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, said the Lord. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen them that were sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in my judgment. As for you, O my flock, thou said the Lord God, behold, I will judge between the sheep and the sheep, between the rams and the goats. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them. Oh, and he shall feed them. Then he says, my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. My God. So David was that shepherd. He will fight the beast. He will fight. The people were scattered around. He says, I found one. I found one. The Lord is finding you worthy. If you are here this morning, it's not by coincidence. The Lord has found you. He says, I found so and so. I found my shepherd whom I shall feed, saith the Lord. The Lord is raising you as mighty fathers and mighty shepherds. If you are listening to me right now, the Lord is raising you as a mighty feeder and a mighty lover, one who will tend for the sheep. One who will tend. One who will tend. They'll love them. I found you, said the Lord. I found you. The sheep will no longer be lost. They will no longer be lost. Because I found you, said the Lord. I found you worthy, said the Lord. I found you. Pray shortly and make a consecration after this moment. The sheep, I will seek after them. I'll seek after them. I'll seek after them. in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that right from this moment, we will understand what true love is. What true love is. We're going to pursue, we're going to love, we're going to seek after. We visit, we interact, we counsel, we teach, we care for, we make sure the wool, the sheep is clothed in fine linen. Lord, you have found us, and we thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for sheep that are blessed because the shepherd is blessed of the Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed the people I'm giving you. Love them. Follow them. Love them. They might be one, two. Like David, you not say, the sheep are few. If you love me, feed. Like David, they might be two, three, one, two, one, three, one, two, but if the love is there, and you will check on, pray for, teach, ensure they are present in meetings, pay for their transportations, ensure they are being well fed, they are being well catered. Don't despise the number. Don't despise the number. For David despised not the number. When David walked to the people, his brothers, and he wanted to inquire of who Goliath was, he said, to whom have you left this few sheep with? They were calling them few sheep. No, they're not few. They matter to God. They matter to God, I'm telling you. Those sheep matter to God. See, when he got angry, he said, I will come for them. I will seek after them. I will follow after them. I will feed them. Because these shepherds are not serious shepherds. But the Lord has found you worthy to be a feeder, a feeder, a feeder, a feeder, a lover. When they are around you, oh, what blossoming love you will have in your heart. Oh, the sheep are around. You give them the best of feed, the best, the best, the best, the best. They are the ones God has given to you. Keep them well. If not, he'll take them from you and he'll find another shepherd. And we don't want him finding another shepherd in our place. No. We want to say, Lord, we are worthy shepherds. Give us more sheep. Give us more disciples. Give us more men. We will tend. We will feed. And we will feed. Father, we thank you that all over in this place are feeders arising to feed, to teach, to love, to interact, to counsel, to preach, to visit, to care for, to tend, to check up, calling consistently. Oh, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.